Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 59. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Drishtva samatvam tach chore satye chaiva yavastitim kamsas tusta mana rajan prahasan idam abravit. Drishtva samat pratam chaschore satye chaiva vivastitim kamsas tusta mana rajan prahasan idam abravit. Drishtva, by seeing. Samatvam, being equipoised, undisturbed in distress or happiness. Tat, that. Shore, of Vasudev. Satye, in truthfulness. Cha, indeed. Eva, certainly. Vivastitim, the firm situation. Kamsaha, kamsa. Tushtamanaha, being very satisfied with Vasudeva's behavior in delivering the first child to keep his promise. Rajan, O Maharaj Parikit. Prahasan, with a smiling face. Idam, this. Abravit, said. Translation, my dear King Parikshit, when Kamsa saw that Vasudev, being situated in truthfulness, was completely equipoised in giving him the child, he was very happy. Therefore, with a smiling face, he spoke as follows. Translation, please repeat. My dear King Parikshit, when Kamsa saw that Vasudev, being situated in truthfulness, was completely equipoised in giving him the child, he was very happy. Therefore, with a smiling face, he spoke as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word samatvam is very significant in this verse. Samatvam refers to one who is always equipoised unaffected by either happiness or distress. Vasudev was so steadily equipoised that he did not seem in the least agitated when delivering his firstborn child into the hands of Kamsa to be killed. In Bhagavad Gita 2:56, it is said, Dukeshva anudvigna mana sukeshu vigata spriha. In the material world, one should not be very eager to be happy, nor should one be very much disturbed by material distress. Lord Krishna advised Arjuna, Matrasparshastu konteya sitoshna sukadukada agama paino nityas tamte tikshava bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Sayana Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Bhagavad Gita 2:14. The self-realized soul is never disturbed by so-called distress or happiness. And this is especially true of an exalted devotee like Vasudev, who showed this by his practical example. Vasudev was not at all disturbed when delivering his first child to Kamsa to be killed. Drishva samatvam tachore satye chaiva vivastitim kamsas tustamana rajan prahasan idam abravit. My dear King Parikshit, when Kamsa saw that Vasudev, being situated in truthfulness, was completely equipoised in giving him the child, he was very happy. Therefore, with a smiling face, he spoke as follows. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabadandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Vritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindhuvevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual masters open my eyes in the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here we see Vasudev is completely equipoised. Prabhupada said this word, samatvam, is significant in this verse. Because he, as we've heard, that he has given his word to Kamsa in order to save the life of Devaki, he's given his word that he will deliver every son to Kamsa. And nobody can trust Kamsa. Everyone knows it's the eighth child. But even Vasudev brought the first child. He's doubtful whether he will bring this child back. We can't imagine the situation. He's totally equipoised. Can anyone take his firstborn child to someone he knows may kill him immediately, just before his eyes? But he's completely equipoised. So Prabhupada says this is very significant in this verse, because this material world, there's various types of happiness and distress. Actually, I was in LA one time. Prabhupada said, everybody in this material world is suffering and enjoying. Then he looked around and said, no, everyone's suffering, but some suffering we call enjoyment, and some suffering we call suffering. Just like Prabhupada gave the example. I was also there in LA for this one also. Prabhupada said the caravan was going through the desert. So we know, we have heard, we've never seen, we don't know, we've heard. Of course, here in Vrindavan, sometimes we get to see camels, but we've never really seen a caravan of camels. But anyway, the caravan was going through the desert. So the camels were passing stool. So because the desert is very dry and the sun is very hot, the top of the stool would dry out very quickly, but the bottom of the stool was still sticky. So somebody said, the top of the stool is better than the bottom of the stool. And Prabhupada looked at us and smiled. He said, he's talking about stool. What is the question, good stool or bad stool? It is all stool. So in this material world, some suffering we take it as enjoyment. And some suffering we take it as suffering. But we have to become equipoised in both of these things. Here Prabhupada quotes this, one of our favorite verses, one of the first verses that one learns by heart. Matra sparshas tu konteya sitoshna sukha dukada agama paino nitya tanta tiksha vabharata. That this procession of happiness and stress, sparsha, it is just from sense, the senses touching the sense objects. Just like in the summertime, we consider the touch of water very pleasant. Just like in the summertime, we're waiting. Oh, we've been working, doing our service all day long. It's so hot, we're sweating. We can't wait to get home, turn on the shower and take a nice cool bath. But unfortunately, the water tank has been sitting in the sun all day. We turn on the water and steam is coming out. And now we're thinking, oh, this hot water, this is very unpleasant. And in the wintertime, oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna. As soon as we take our bath, we're thinking, oh, this cool water is very miserable. It's just tense perception. So this verse says these things are coming. Sometimes the water is pleasant, sometimes the water is unpleasant. It's just the nature of this material world. So we have to become fixed in doing our service. Because our pleasure is already, everybody in this world is striving very hard, seeking happiness and pleasure. Even though we strive very hard for happiness, sometimes we get distress. And sometimes without even trying, we get happiness. And we're struggling so hard to make sure that we avoid distress and get happiness. So without even trying for distress, distress is coming. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh, today one bull is going to come and poke me and break my rib. Nobody starts out his day thinking like that. But still these things are happening without our even making plan or even desiring. We don't make plans for distress. You know, now I'm going to get COVID, I'm going to get in the ventilator and be in distress. We try to avoid in all possibility, but still this distress is coming. That we should think that if the distress is coming without any endeavor, then why not the happiness will come without endeavor? We don't make any endeavor. Nobody endeavors for distress. But still we're getting distressful situations. All our endeavor is for happiness. And even sometimes we make so much endeavor for happiness, in the end there's only distress. Just like I remember in my childhood, there was one girl in the class ahead of me, so she wasn't in my circle of friends. But it was her birthday, so her parents decided to rent a bus and take all the children up to the mountains. Have wonderful time in the mountains, picnic in the mountains with nice cake, chocolate cake with creamy chocolate icing. So big endeavor was there to arrange everything, arrange a place in the mountains, a nice place for them to do their picnic, and arrange a bus and arrange the food for everyone. Big endeavor was there, all for happiness. But that particular place, there was a waterfall. So you know, near the waterfall's down and spray comes. And that spray comes on the rocks. So the rocks are always moist. If a rock remains moist, then gradually this green moss grows on that rock. And it becomes very slippery. So they all went to see the waterfall. And that girl whose birthday it was, she got too close to the waterfall. She stepped on the moss. She fell down into the river, landed on a stone, and died. Whole endeavor, huge endeavor for happiness, and the worst distress. As I hear Basudev, this is the worst distress. He's going to give his child and watch it killed in front of his eyes. Worst distress. So if we see that distress and happiness, if we get the idea eventually that distress and happiness are coming automatically, then there's no need to make endeavor for sense gratification. Whatever is allotted by us by a karma, we're going to enjoy. Whatever suffering is there, we're going to get it. That's going to come automatically. Only thing that doesn't come automatically is Krishna consciousness. Jai Sisi Nitai Gaur Sundar Ki Jai Ho Sisi Krishna Baldao Ki Jai Ho Sisi Radha Shamsundar Lita Visakhi Ki Jai Ho. Krishna consciousness is not going to happen automatically. That you have to strive for. And for that we have to learn to tolerate unbearable situations and even enjoyable situations. Just like those of us who've been around for some time, we've seen so many people come to the temple, they're in great distress. They join the ashram, they stay for some time, they overcome their problem. As soon as the problem's overcome, then they go back. And we meet them on the street, you know, they throw their cigarette away real quick. Hari Bol Prabhu. How you doing? Oh man, suffering like anything, I wish I could be back in the temple. We have this experience, as soon as they get happiness, oh, now let's go enjoy. But a devotee, as soon as there's a nice situation, he says, now I can increase my devotional service. And as soon as there's some unfavorable situation, then he learns to tolerate it. Just like we all have experienced so many times on Sankirtan, mind is just fighting us. No, let's go back to the temple. Nobody's taking book today. Let's get out of here. We're just suffering like anything, but we remain doing our service. And all of a sudden someone walks up and says, hey, you got Bhagavad Gita? I've been looking for Bhagavad Gita. You know, and you start talking to them and they're just asked so many nice questions. You know, so you were just a few minutes before you were suffering like anything, but you tolerated that suffering. And then Krishna gave very nice situation. We all have this, those of us, these old days, we have all this experiences like this. So when there's distress, we just think actually, by my past karma, when I think about all the things I did, I'm afraid to see what my past karma would be. Every morning I wake up and I pay my obeisance to Prabhupada, I just think, oh my God, Prabhupada saved us. So devotee, he thinks as soon as there's some distressful situation, that actually due to my past karma, I deserve worse situation. And if there's nice situation, then he thinks, now I can increase my service. So we have to become equipoised in... And this is the most stressful situation that Vasudeva is put in. We can't imagine Vasudeva. First child is born. And Devaki is looking at him with eyes, please don't take him. Can any mother give up her first child knowing that it's going to die? And Vasudeva is seeing that look in Devaki's eyes. But he's feeling it more painful to break his promise. We don't see this anymore. In Kali Yuga, there's all this type of nobility is gone completely. So equipoise, samatvam. So he picks up this child. He knows he may never see this child again if he takes it to Kams. But still he's given his word. The most distressful situation we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine the situations that Vasudeva and Devaki, still their faith never wavered in Krishna. That Krishna has some plan. So he took this child. In fact, here it says that Prahasan, this Kams, he smiled. Kams is a big, big demon, but somehow, by the association of Vasudev, seeing that Vasudev is fixed in truthfulness and samatvam, he's equipoise. Even Kams's cruel heart is moved. Even Kams's cruel heart is moved. How this Vasudev is so truthful. He's so fixed on his word. So by the association of Vasudev, even this cruel Kams became moved. So this is the power of association. We were just listening to the lecture yesterday. Probably you associate with smokers and drinkers, they automatically become smoker and drinker. Just by that association. And if you associate with vegetarians and just like nobody philosophically convinced me to become a vegetarian. All my friends became vegetarians because that was the hip thing to do. So just by the association, I also became vegetarian. So association is so powerful. We have to be very careful who we associate with. Therefore, Prabhupada established this international society for Krishna Consciousness. Society means there's a whole group of devotees with one mind to become Krishna conscious. Anyway, anyhow, become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. So by associating with them, we get our strength to go on. It's very hard in this. Everything is totally against us. We see the whole world is totally upside down. One considered very respectful, somehow or other he gets money. He's got, it doesn't matter what his character is. If he gets money anyway, anyhow, then he's respected in society. Everything's totally upside down. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita those qualities that are actually respectful. Cleanliness, truthfulness, chastity. So many, whole 16 chapter. Krishna lists so many wonderful, controlling the senses. Not controlling the senses, you control the senses and think you're nuts. Just like I remember way back in 1970. I got upset with our temple president in Dallas and I ran off to, not Dallas, Houston. And I ran off to Vishnu John Swami, who was opening a temple in Austin. And at that time, he just got his first bus. We know Vishnu John's famous for his traveling Sankirtan, but his traveling temple with Radha Damodar. So he'd just gotten his first bus, big, bright, red Austin city bus. It was a city bus. Later they got these nice long distance buses. But this was a city bus, big, red, bright red bus. And he painted on the side in all psychedelic letters, Vishnujan Bhakti Temple Mobile, something I can't remember now. And we were living in a duplex. Duplex means it was upstairs and downstairs. And downstairs the landlady was living. And we were upstairs. So because it wasn't a separate house, we had to be very careful with our kirtans, especially Mangalarti. I can remember those Mangalarti. Even though they were very quiet, with Vishnujan singing, was so sweet. Samsara dava nalalida loka tranaya karanya ganaganatham. We'd sing so slowly so not to disturb the landlady downstairs. But Vishnujan, even in low voice, Vishnujan's kirtan was so ecstatic. We were always in total bliss. Anyway, he got this big red bus. So he's parking this big red bus in front of the building. And it looks horrible. All up and down the street, everybody's parked with normal cars. This big red bus is parked there. So sometimes in America, you're embarrassed to go approach the offender, so you call the police. So she called the police that she didn't want this big red bus parked there on this residential street in front of her apartment building. But actually she liked us, so she didn't want the police to bother us so much. So when the police got there, she said, actually, they're very nice boys. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They don't have girls in their apartment. They don't eat meat. And the police chief just looked at her and said, my God, what the hell they do for fun? No one can imagine controlling the senses is a good thing, you know. Our ideas are those who are the most uncontrolled, they're the best. Huh? Just like everybody follows the Bollywood and Hollywood stars, whatever nonsense things they do, then everybody thinks that's the standard. So everything's totally upside down. It's very difficult to remain Krishna conscious. Therefore we need association. The Prabhupada created the society. We can associate together. Prabhupada gave the example, just like if you have a stick of little twig, then very easy. You can break it like that. No problem. But if you have a whole bunch of little twigs, even you try to put your knee, you can't break them. But the situation is so difficult in this Kali Yuga to remain equipoised, to remain in Krishna house, we must have association of devotees. Therefore we're very internally indebted to Prabhupada for making this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and opening temples all over the world. So we can learn how to become equipoised and go on by association. So by association, even this Kant, by seeing Vasudev, he became a little changed. And we'll see in the next verses in Kamsa. Alright, actually it's the eighth child, so you can take this one back. I have no fear from this one. He's even moved. Later we'll see Narad Muni puts some doubt in his mind. And then he goes to his demoniac advisors. He says, yeah, we should kill them all. We don't know which one could be the eighth. Which one could be the one we don't know? It was kill them all. So by association of his demoniac advisors, then his heart completely changed. By association of Vasudev, he changed his heart. By association of his advisors, he again changed his heart. But anyway, he's moved, seeing, therefore says, Prahasan, with a smile, he began to speak to Vasudev. So we see many examples throughout the scriptures and pastimes of the Lord of people remaining equipoised even in very, very dangerous situations. Just as I was singing, this whole scene is reminding me of a forest that we don't often go to. There's a forest called Bahulavan. Anybody ever been to Bahulavan? It's not on our regular Prickama schedule. I don't even know if Brajmanda Prickama, they may pass through it. Yeah, they go to Bahulavan, yeah. They used to camp there. It's named after a cow named Bahula. In that forest, there was a cow named Bahula, who was actually the incarnation of the earth. What happened was in the one time the demigods were having some performance. There was two Gandharvas named Huhu and Haha. It's in the scripture, that's their names, Huhu and Haha. They were doing some performance for the demigods. At that time, Narad Muni and Parasara Rishi reached that assembly. So immediately everyone stood up to show respect. As soon as sannyasi or great personality appears, we should immediately stand up. Show some sort of respect. So everybody stood up except for Huhuha. They were doing their performance. So Parasara Rishi became very angry. He said, "Are? What is this? Everybody stood up to show us respect. You didn't show us any respect. You have no sense. You're just like an animal. Animal doesn't show any respect. So you should become animals on the earth." Then Huhuha said, "Wait a minute. You're Trikalagya, you can see past, present and future. You sit down in meditation and go back in time and see if we did not show you respects within our hearts. We were busy doing our performance." So Parasara Rishi sat down in his meditation. He could go into the past. In the past he saw they paid their sastang, dandavats. Sastang pranam means dandavat, falling like a stick within their hearts. So they said, "Oh, what have I done?" He said, "So I will also go to the earth." And this Narad Muni, he didn't stop me. He will also go to the earth. And this earth, she was the witness. She will also go. So Hubula took birth as this cow in Bahulavan. And one day it was Ekadasi. And Bahulakai, she was very, very, very pregnant. And we don't recommend this for the ladies during their pregnancy, but somehow she decided to do Nirjala Ekadasi. We don't recommend this. But anyway, she was a very powerful and pious cow. She decided to do Nirjala Ekadasi. At the end of the night, on Dwadasi morning, she gave birth to her calf. But she had just fasted the whole day and the whole night, remained awake, chanting the holy names of the Lord the whole night. Now she just went through childbirth. She was so thirsty. Only thing she could think of was drinking water. So without even feeding her first milk to the calf, she went to look for water. Because that first milk is very special for the calves. Even the commercial dairies, they don't take, after the cow first gives birth, they don't use that milk. It's only for the calf. In English we call colostra. It's filled with probiotics. We make antibiotics against life. We make antibiotics. But nature makes probiotics for life. Makes the calf will grow very strong and healthy. So without feeding that first milk to her calf, she went off to look for water. And if you watch the National Geographic Channel or the Discovery Channel, then you all know that where do the predators hang out? At the water hole. Because they know some animal will come to drink water, then they'll jump on it and kill it and eat it. So immediately, this lion leapt out of the bushes and was ready to pounce on Bahulagai. And Bahulagai, she offered her obeisance to the lion and said, "Please, I promise you, I'll come back, but let me go feed my first milk to my calf." I was so thirsty I didn't feed my first milk to my calf. I promise. See? My toes are not crossed. Cross my heart, hope to die. I'll come back. So we know that lions are very ferocious, but we also hear that they're very noble. So somehow the lion, he had faith in Bahulagai that she'll keep her word. He says, "All right, go feed your calf, but come back very quick. Meanwhile, I'll do my Facebook." So she went back and she was feeding milk to her calf and she was crying. And the calf said, "Mata, Mata, why are you crying?" He said, "Because this is the last time I will see you." "Mata, why is that?" And she told the whole situation. And the calf said, "No, no, no, you're my mother, you gave me life, how can you die? Let me go." Just see the situation in previous yugas. If somebody else is going to get trouble with a gegu, somebody else, then we can avoid the trouble, great. Good luck. But the calf was saying, "No, no, I will go. Let the lion eat me. You should live. You gave me life. How can my mother die?" And the mother said, "No, no, no. You have your whole life in front of you. I've already lived so many years. I will die." "No, no, no." Then the cowherd boy came. He saw the cow and the calf were arguing. So he asked, "What's the argument all about?" Then he heard and he said, "No, no, my cow has given me milk for the whole life. How can my cow die? How can my calf die? I will go up to the lion. Let the lion eat me." So noble people, they're not completely equipoised. So they all three are arguing. "How can my calf die? How can my lion? No, no, how can my... You've served me so nicely for all these years, feeding me and taking care of me. How can you die?" Everybody was crying and crying. So finally all three went to the lion. So the lion was there. He looked up. He saw, instead of one, three people had come. And the cow was saying, "Please eat me." He said, "No, no, spare my mother, please eat me. No, no, spare my calf and cow, please eat me." Everybody was begging. "You please eat me." So at that moment, Lord Krishna appeared on the scene and he played on his flute and everyone realized their previous life. That the cow was Mother Earth. That cowherd boy was Parasara Rishi. The calf was Narad Muni. And the cow was Mother Earth. Everyone realized it. And the lion was Haha. Everyone realized their Swarup. So if you go there, there's a big kund. On the side of the kund, on the opposite side of the kund, when you come to Bahula, when you go over the bridge to Radhakund, as soon as you get over the bridge, you turn around under the bridge, you go back, and then there's a road that goes off to the right. And then you finally come to Bahulavan. And the opposite side of the kund, and the stairway, there's a little shrine. You can see the statue carving. The lion is there, Krishna is there playing on his flute, the calf is there, the cow is there, and Krishna is there playing on his flute. So then everybody asks, what happened to Huhu? If you read the part of Srimad Bhagavatam about Gajendra Moksha, then the purport Prabhupada explains there that alligator, or crocodile, whatever he was, that was in a previous life, he was Huhu. He became the crocodile that bit Gajendra's leg and later was liberated by the Lord with his Sudarshan Chakra. Again, we have the example, since Bahulavan is on the way to Govardhan, we know that actually Govardhan, he was in the spiritual sky, he was enormous. So when he descended to Brajadham, he was humongous. So he came down on a different dweep. I think Plakshadweep, if I remember. Because we're on Jambudweep. He came down on Plakshadweep. And he was the son of Dronachal. One other mountain was there, Dronachal. Because the mountains we call Achal. Just like all day in Prikama we're telling you, Chalo, 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 Chalo. So the mountains, they don't Chalo, so they're Achal. Himachal. Nilachal. Sundarachal. So one time, Pulastya Rishi, he was had his ashram in Banaras, where Ganga and Jamuna, after meeting at Prayag, the first place they flow is Banaras. And it's a very flat place, because that we call Gangetic Plain. These two huge rivers have flattened everything out, so it's a very flat, low place. So, Pulastya Rishi, he went out, because sometimes rishis like to go visiting on pilgrimage. He came to Plakshadweep and he saw this beautiful mountain. With so many beautiful flowering trees and fruit trees and water cascading down and cool kapans of clear, cool water. Beautiful mountain. Cuckoos singing their song. Huh? And peacocks were crying. And he thought this would be such a nice hill to have in my Banaras, this very flat place. A nice place to sit and do my bhajan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So he asked that hill, you please come with me to Banaras. And because the Indian children, they're very obedient to father and mother, at least they used to be in old days. Super obedient to father and mother. So he said, first you have to get permission from my father, Dronachal. So he went to Dronachal. As soon as Dronachal saw this Pulastya Rishi's come, immediately folded his hands. Any seva, Maharaj? He said, yes. I want to take your son with me to Banaras. And that Rishi became very angry. Hey, first you promised Seva, you gave your word. Now I told you the Seva, now you're denying. He got ready to break his Brahmin thread and curse him. So then he became equipoised. Okay, I gave my word, you please take my son, but wherever you put him, he will never move from that spot. So first he became bewildered, then he realized he had given his word. So he said, yes, you please take my son, but wherever you place him, he'll never move from that spot. So Pulastya Rishi thought, this is great, I don't want him to move anywhere. So he took that. So then Govardhan became just as light as a feather, and he lifted up Govardhan without any difficulty, and he was flying. He's a very powerful rishi. Without even jet airways, he could fly through the airways. All night he was flying. In the morning he passed over this Braj Mandal on his way to Kashi, and he began to see the beauty of this place. He slowed down. And Giriraj, he also realized, this is where I want to be. This is Braj. I don't want to go anywhere else. So we know as soon as we wake up in the morning, certain pushings begin to manifest in our body. So Giriraj, he became a little heavy to help those pushings appear. So then Palashtravi, he put Govardhan down. He went to the jungle, did his business. He took bath in a river nearby. He came back and tried to lift Giriraj. He couldn't lift him. He said, "What is this?" He said, "My father told, wherever you put me, I don't move from that spot. Just for 1 minute I set you down, but my father told." "All right, I curse you. You will sink the width of one till." Till means sesame seed. Everybody says mustard seed, but I saw the Sanskrit as till, until it's sesame seed. The width of one sesame seed into the ground. And he left back to Benares. Now we shouldn't think that Giriraj is subject to somebody's curse. This was just a pastime that Krishna manifested, because Giriraj was too big for Brajlila. It's described that his peak was so high that even the sun god's horses, when he'd win his chariot across the sky, they'd eat the grasses on the peak of Govardhan. So it was too big for Krishna Lila. So just to bring him down to size. That's why when we get to see, we finally came, we read about Krishna book, we read about Govardhan, and we come there and we say, you know, it's not a big mountain. But it's sinking and sinking and sinking. Garga Samhita says when Govardhan finally sinks into the ground, then Kali Yuga will really begin. You may think it's bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet. When Govardhan finally sinks completely into the ground, then it's like a Kusum Sarovar is described. Mahaprabhu, he came after discovering Radhakund, he came to Suman Sarovar. That time it was known as Suman Sarovar. And he took his bath, and it says he took darshan of Govardhan. Now we've all been to Kusum Sarovar, we don't see any Govardhans. Even in 500 years he sank so much. So anyway, here's a few examples of keeping our word, being remaining equipoised. Hare Krishna. So we can ask, I guess we can have one question. If it went a little late, I thought I would finish up sooner. Any questions? Where's our jikyasu? Must have gone to the Hindi class, all right. So if there's no questions, we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's trying to train us up to be equipoised in happiness and distress. Srila Prabhupada ki.